Take your Bibles, please, and go to Luke chapter 2. Luke chapter 2. This morning, we're going to talk about the similarities between Christmas and communion. You know, Christmas is a time for giving. Over the last several days, maybe weeks, a lot of you have gotten together with family and friends, and you've exchanged gifts, and it's what we do this time of year. We think about things throughout the year, and we give those gifts to those that we love. And communion's a time to remember that greatest gift that God ever gave. Now, Christmas and communion are both about giving. And as we close out this season of giving, we need to remember that God is the great giver. He's the giver of life. It tells us in Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, "Then the Lord God formed man of the dust from the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being." He's the gift of life, giver of life. He's the giver of every good thing. James records for us in James chapter 1, verse 17, "Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow." Think about what James is recording. Every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above. For believer and unbeliever, every good thing comes from God. How often do we stop and thank Him for that? And praise Him for that? You know, as we partake of the Lord's table this morning, we remember that communion is about the greatest gift of all. You know, one of those verses that John read this morning, a verse that probably one of the first ones we all memorize, you know, John 3:16. "For God loved the world so very much that He gave His one and only Son, to whoever believes in Him, places their faith and trust in Him, won't perish, but will have everlasting life." He sent Jesus Christ, gave the gift of Christ so that we could have a home in heaven. We could have salvation. When we receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of our life, we receive that gift. And it's those of us that have received that gift that we invite you to participate this morning. Partake of communion. Remember the gift of Jesus Christ. Because it's all about Him and it's none about us. Our focus is to be on Christ, the giver of all good things. Now this morning I want to answer the question, and I didn't put this in your outline, but just above, if you're taking notes, just above point number one, write in the question, what did Christ give that's so important? What did Christ give that's so important? We want to answer that question this morning. In Luke chapter 2 and verse 7, the verse we looked at last week, she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And then in Luke chapter 22, verses 19 and 20, it says, "When he had taken some bread and given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, 'This is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, 'This cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood.'" What did Christ give that's so important? Number one, Christ gave His body. Christ gave His body. It says in Luke 22, Jesus said, "This is my body which is given for you." You know, as you read through the Old Testament, you see that the prophets wrote about God's taking a body. Bible says He would be born of a virgin. In Isaiah 7:14, "Therefore the Lord Himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin will be with child and bear a son, and she will call His name Emmanuel." We know that means God is with us. The everlasting one would limit Himself to time. And a time in Bethlehem. Another verse we looked at last week was Micah chapter 5, verse 2, "But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you one," capital O, Jesus, "will go forth for me to be ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, from the days of eternity. Now think about that for a moment. The omnipresent one. Jesus, who is everywhere present. You know, in the passage we're going to look at just in a moment where it talks about he emptied himself. Here he set aside that omnipresence to limit himself to a body. You know, we would like to be in more than one place at once a lot of times. The body can't do that. As God, he could. But he chose to limit himself. That just blows me away. What God was willing to do for us, what Jesus Christ gave up for us. So she brought forth her firstborn son. The Apostle Paul called that Christ becoming a man, and he records for us in that kenosis passage, that emptying passage in Philippians chapter 2, verses 5 through 7, have this attitude in yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, although he existed in the form of God, did not regard equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself, taking the form of a bondservant and being made in the likeness of men. That's why we celebrate Christmas. We celebrate Christ taking a body. And then at communion, we celebrate Christ giving that body, laying down his life for us. So Christ gave his body. Number two, Christ gave his blood. Christ gave his blood. It says in Luke chapter 22, verse 20, it said, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. This cup is a new covenant in my blood. You know, this is my blood which is shed for you. The very first communion announces that new covenant. Back in Luke chapter 2, verse 7, that verse we looked at, and she gave birth to her firstborn son. She wrapped him in cloths, as my New American says, but the King James is much closer, accurate depiction of the original Greek when she wrapped him in swaddling clothes. Because those swaddling clothes, we talked a little bit about this last week, they were the baby clothes of the poor. And we know that Mary and Joseph were poor because when it came time to give the offering, they gave the offering of a poor family. But it's not coincidence that the swaddling clothes were also grave clothes. Talked about that last week. When the body died, they wrapped him in these swaddling clothes. Every single baby that is born is going to die. Now, as a newborn, you don't want to think about that. But it's a reality. Unless Christ comes to rapture his church before, then every single baby that's born is going to die. But Jesus Christ was that one baby that was born to die. He came to give his life. He came to give his blood. It's not coincidence that he was wrapped in those grave clothes at birth. And then Mary took him and laid him in a manger. You know, the fitting place to lay the Lamb of God was the place where those animal sacrifices ate. And one day Jesus Christ was going to be the sacrifice for sin, as it was foretold. In Hebrews, turn with me quickly to Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10. And look at verses 4 through 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 4 through 10. It says, for it is impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. Therefore, when he comes into the world, he says, he being Jesus, sacrifice and offering you have not desired, but a body you have prepared for me. In whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have taken no pleasure. Then I said, behold, I have come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me, to do your will, O God. After saying above, sacrifices and offerings and whole burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, you have not desired, nor have you taken pleasure in them, which are offered according to the law. Then he said, behold, I have come to do your will. He takes away the first in order to establish the second. By this will we have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. He came to be that sacrifice. Now go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And Peter writes about that redeeming precious blood of Jesus Christ, beginning in verse 1 Peter 1, beginning in verse 17. If you address as Father the one who impartially judges according to each one's work, conduct yourselves in fear during the time of your stay on earth, knowing that you were not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but you were redeemed with precious blood, as of a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And then John records for us in 1 John chapter 1, beginning in verse 5, he says, "This is the message we have heard from him and announced to you, that God is light, and in him there's no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sins." On that passage, don't mistake it and say we have to earn that right. He's talking about as his cleansed ones, as children of God, it ought to be magnified demonstrated in how we live our lives. That blood cleanses us from all sin. Christ gave his body. Christ gave his blood. And number three, Christ gave his best. Christ gave his best. Jesus was always doing the will of his Father. He's doing the business of his Father. In the midst of serving his Father, remember, he was tempted by Satan. And when he faced the temptation from Satan, he was steadfast and victorious. He defeated Satan how? What did he do? What? Quoted Scripture. Quoted Scripture again and again and again. And Satan was quoting Scripture too, but he was misquoting and taking things out of context. And he knew his Father's will. He knew his Father's word. He was quoting Scripture. Use Scripture to defeat that temptation. At the end of his ministry, he faced false accusations. He faced beatings. He faced mockings and eventually death. In the midst of all that suffering, in the midst of everything that he went through, he didn't complain. He didn't lash out and threaten his accusers. Even when he paid the ultimate price, he laid down his life. He gave his life. He was faithful and in control till the end. I'm going to sidetrack just a moment here, because I want to challenge each of us this year. When you look at the life of Christ, Jesus was always doing the will of his Father, and Jesus was always using the word of his Father. I want to challenge all of us. You know, Fernando was up here and he talked about reading through the Bible for the second time in the year, and develop some sort of a reading plan where you're in the Word of God. There's no substitute for the Word of God. You know, doing your devotions and doing those devotionals, that's a very good thing. And I encourage that every morning when I get up. I'm usually the first one in our house to get up. And I sit down on the couch and I pull out the iPad and pull up my Bible on the iPad. And I'll sit down and I'll do the daily bread and I'll do the today in the Word. And I'll do the Word Life quiet time. And then I'll sit and do part of my reading plan. You know, and for many years, I've tried to read through the Bible in a year. And last year, I told you, it was the first time I've read through it chronologically as it was recorded. And I enjoyed that. It was a different approach and different perspective. This year, I'm hoping to read through the Bible chronologically as the events happened. It's a little bit different perspective again. And one thing I can tell you from experience, even though you get to periods where you get a little maybe discouraged as you go through Numbers and you read name after name after name after name, you go through periods where it's hard to keep going through, as you read the Word of God, he reveals himself in new and fresh ways again and again and again. Those devotional things are great. Your podcasts are great. But don't be content to let people tell you about God's Word. Let God speak to you from his Word. Be in the Word of God. Set aside some plan that you can follow. Even if you are an average reader, you can get through the Bible in a year in about 15 minutes a day. Anybody says that's, we all waste 15 minutes a day somewhere. But maybe that's too lofty and you know I'll never achieve it. I'll quit halfway through. Or then, man, say I'm going to read one chapter in the Old Testament, one chapter in the New Testament each day. I'm going to read one proverb each day. Set aside a plan. Be in the Word of God because there is no substitute. Let God talk to you. It is His Word. Treasure it. Just think about that this week. I don't think it's possible to be in the will of God apart from the Word of God. I don't think it's possible. I know it's not possible to be like Christ apart from the Word of God. He continuously used His Father's words to be in His Father's will. That's my little preaching time this morning. Develop that reading plan. Be in God's Word. As we partake of communion this morning, you know, I want you to think about, what are you going to give? Christmas and communion are our time for giving. We talk about these things that Christ gave for us. What are you going to give? You know, what are you going to give Christ? As we enter 2020, a lot of times we do an inventory of our lives at this time of year, and we think about some resolutions and things we want to change and things we want to achieve in this next year. What are you going to give God? What are you going to give Him? Going to give Him your attitude? Going to give Him worship? Going to devote yourself to more time in prayer? Your talents, your abilities? You know, probably two of my favorite verses in all of Scripture. And every time I quote them, I misquote them, so I'm going to read them to you. In Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. The Apostle Paul says, therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind through the Word of God, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice. What are you going to give to God? You know, teenagers, you're starting to think about what life is going to hold. I was a sophomore in high school when I knew God was calling me to the ministry. Now, there's been a lot of bumps in the road. And sometimes I took my eyes off of God's plan for my life and God's will for my life. But I knew God was calling me to serve Him. Now, I thought that call was to be a youth pastor for life. You know, God knew better because I couldn't do it today. I look at Pastor Jordan and I say, I can't do the all-nighters anymore. You know, I physically can't do it. But God said, all right, I'm going to change your direction a little bit. What are we going to give God? As we come to church in the new year, I want to challenge you to come with the attitude not of what am I going to get, but what am I going to give? A lot of times we get caught up in this. Well, is the pastor going to be interesting today or not? Am I going to learn anything new or not? Am I going to like the music and am I going to know all the words? And we come in with this attitude of what am I going to get? We need to come with the attitude of what am I going to give? God, here I am. I'm giving you all of me today. When we partake of communion, we come with the attitude of Jesus gave His all. What are we going to give Him? What are we going to give Him? As a gentleman come forward, I want to read to you. Why don't you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, that passage we often go to when we look at communion. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning in verse 23. The Apostle Paul records for us, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you. The Lord Jesus, in the night in which He was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." The same way he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But a man must examine himself, and in so doing he is to eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks judgment to himself, if he does not judge the body rightly. For this reason, many among you are weak and sick, and a number sleep. But if we judged ourselves rightly, we would not be judged." The Apostle Paul says, take this seriously. Examine our hearts and our minds, our lives. Is there a sin that needs to be dealt with and confessed? Deal with it. If we are a child of God, we belong to him by faith in Jesus Christ. And as the Apostle Paul says, we can partake in a worthy manner. Let's partake this morning together and never forget the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Gentlemen, if you come forward, please.